Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. All right, welcome back everyone. When I was thinking about what to talk about today, what came to mind immediately was this trip that I just went on. So my husband and I just had an amazing trip to Iceland, and we were gone for, I think, 8 days total. And if you've ever been to Iceland, you'll know what I'm talking about. It literally feels like you are in a completely different planet. The landscapes there are just absolutely insanely beautiful and unique and different than anything I have ever seen in my entire life. So if you ever get the opportunity to go there, I highly recommend it. But on that note, when it comes to all of you and what you want to hear about, I thought I would talk about traveling with peptides, not just the logistics of it, but the ones that at least I took this time and that I take with me on the regular. One of them is a newer one that I added in this time that I'm going to talk about. And, you know, how that works, why I picked the ones that I picked, and how you can make some of those decisions as well. Because honestly, this is a topic that comes up quite a bit when I'm talking to people. I'm going to have to travel for work, or I'm about to go on this vacation and I'm in the middle of this cycle, and what do I do? And so that's a good segue to just dive into this and get started. This probably won't be a terribly long episode. We'll see. Sometimes they end up a lot longer than I think they're going to be, but I'm trying to keep this short and sweet because I'm so far behind since I got back, and I'm trying to catch up on everything and make sure that I get all of your questions answered, and I'm still posting stuff so y'all have all the information that you need. So hang in there with me. But I think one of the things you have to ask yourself is, what are your goals while you're traveling, and what is your overall peptide goal in this particular moment in time for you? And some cycles are easier to disrupt than others, if you will. One example of that just readily comes to mind is if you're not injured, but you're just taking maybe the BPC-157 for overall systemic recovery or something like that, that's something that you can easily leave behind and pick back up on when you get back. If you're in the middle of, let's say, an Epitalon one, that's one that you really want to do consistently for 10 to 30 days, depending on what protocol you're on. So you may decide to strategically start that when you get back, or try to finish it before you leave, things like that. So you need to really think about where you're at with your peptide cycles, and if you can, plan around them. I think that you also have to consider the half-life of these things. How long do they systemically stay in your system? And a lot of people, a lot of my listeners, and just people in general out there, there are so many people right now that are on the GLP-1 peptides. And so this is a really easy one, for example, to plan your travel around, because most of us aren't traveling for weeks on end. So I wanted to talk about this one in particular before we dive into the ones that I brought with me, to give you an understanding of, even if you are gone for a couple of weeks, how you may be able to just leave the peptides at home if you're on a GLP, because the GLP's half-life is really long. And when we talk about a half-life, so for example, retatrutide is 6 days, we think it must be totally gone in 12 days, but that's not actually how that works. Half-life means the time it takes for the amount of the drug in your body to drop by half. So after 6 days, you've got about 50% left. Another 6 days go by and you're down to 25%. Another 6 days and you're down to 12.5%. So it's like cutting the amount in half over and over again. So in the case of Breda Trutide, it takes about 5 halved lives before something is completely cleared out of your system. So for Breda Trutide, that's closer to 30 days. And for something like tirzepatide, which is about a 5-day half-life, that's closer to 25 days. And that's why we typically, if we're not doing a microdosing schedule, we typically dose these once a week because they hang around long enough in our system to keep working between injections. So this is a really easy one that you could take if you're going to be gone for, I would even say, 2 weeks. You could take it the morning that you leave or the night before you leave and have that living in your system the entire time that you're gone, and maybe just leave the injection at home and you don't even have to mess with it. So that's something to consider. How long do these peptides stay in your body and what are the half-lives of these? So you can make some educated decisions on what to bring with you or what to leave at home. On that note, let's talk about what I did before I left for Iceland to help get me prepared for that trip. And I decided to take a dose of cagrilintide the day before I left. And this is great for people who are not currently on a GLP like Retta or tirzepatide, or on a very low dose of these things for more of an anti-inflammatory benefits that we get, or the insulin, a little bit of insulin sensitivity we want to enhance. But you're not on a high enough dose of retatrutide or tirzepatide to really get the impact of the appetite control, which is the space that I live in. Tirzepatide, even more than retatrutide and tirzepatide, has a longer half-life. It's even longer than that. It's about 7 days, which means that it sticks around even if you miss a dosing window by a day or two. And that's a big advantage if you're traveling, crossing time zones and all the things, because you don't have to worry about the fridge access and all the stuff. So you can do it before you leave, and it's also a once weekly shot. And it gives you satiety control, and it's an amylin analog. So it slows the gastric emptying and really locks down the appetite. And this is super helpful if you're heading on a trip where you've got the buffets, like the late dinners, the mindless snacking. I will admit, I had a few cookies or two while I was in Iceland. things that I just wouldn't normally eat when I'm home and I'm on my schedule. So the beautiful thing about cagrilintide is it doesn't really take away your hunger the way tirzepatide and retatrutide does. But what it does do is it makes you stop eating quicker. And so for me, I would get the appetite, hey, I'm really hungry. And then I can sit down, was excited to order all the fresh fish that they had there, which was amazing. And then it allowed me to enjoy that, but to not overindulge. So I just didn't feel like eating as much, but I got to really enjoy the meals that I was partaking in. And lots of times with the retatrutide and the tirzepatide, you just lose all desire to eat altogether. And I really wasn't wanting that. I wanted to enjoy this new cultural experience, and the food is a big part of that. So this was really helpful for me, and I definitely felt it. And it's also good if you're not on one of these GLP-1s and your system's not used to it, you for sure would not want to start one before you leave, because a lot of people in the beginning stages experience a lot of the GI upset that you hear about, and people that increase their dose. So if you're one of these people like, oh, I want a little extra push before my trip, you may consider layering in the cagrilintide over increasing your GLP-1 dosing so you can really try to avoid some of those unwanted side effects. And like I said, this worked really well for me. And I can really get a huge benefit from this on a very low dose. I just took 500 mcgs, which was half a milligram. And it was just the right amount to, again, allow me to enjoy the food and desire the food that was presented to me, but not overindulge. And so that is why before I left, the night before I left, I took an injection of cagrilintide. Let me also say this. If you've never taken it before, try a dose or two prior to your trip so you know how you tolerate it. This can have some side effects, usually nothing like what the GLP-1s have, but it can have some of the similar side effects, and you definitely don't want to be starting a trip out and start having those side effects impact you, okay? All right, let's move on to the next one. This is one that I actually took with me and used while I was there, is the Motsi. And I started a cycle of Motsi before I left, and I definitely knew going into this trip that I wanted to take it with me. And so let's break down why. First off, Motsi is all about cellular energy and resilience. It's a mitochondrial-derived peptide, which means it works right at the level of your cells to help them make energy more efficiently. So when you travel, whether it's long flights, time zone changes, or just all the stress of being out of routine, your mitochondria take a hit. And that's why people feel the jet lag, sluggish, or like their workouts fall flat. And Motsi helps your energy production be more stable so you can bounce back faster from these things. It also allows for a metabolic flexibility. So Motsi has this wonderful component to it that acts as an exercise mimetic. It flips on some of the same cellular switches you'd normally get from a solid workout. It also improves glucose handling and helps your body switch more smoothly between burning carbs and fats. And this is huge when you're traveling because, let's be real, our workouts suffer and most of us aren't staying as strict on our nutrition plans. This can be super helpful. Maybe the hotel gym is just a couple of dumbbells, or you're spending all day exploring instead of training, which is what I was doing. We didn't hit the gym one time, but we were outside doing hikes and definitely getting thousands of steps in every day. So it really helps keep your metabolism in more of that trained state, even when your exercise is limited. So we were very active, but it was a different type of active. And I wanted to make sure that I preserved as much of the training internally, if you will, as I could, even though I knew I wasn't going to be in the gym. All right. There's also this anti-stress effects. So research shows that Motsi can improve exercise capacity and stress resilience. And what this means is it just helps your body cope better with the chaos of travel, the poor sleep in a hotel, again, the jet lag, and again, just that physical stress of being on the move, maybe more than usual. Or on the flip side of that, if you're being sedentary, like laying on a beach all day, which I definitely enjoy those types of vacations too, it's going to help make sure that your body's responding, at least physiologically, the way that it would if you were actually training in the gym. I'm not saying that you're going to take this and automatically get ripped, that you'd have to be lifting weights to do that, but it's going to help offset the lack of exercise in those situations. Also, Motsi, depending on the dosing protocol you're on, can be injected just a few times a week. You don't have to necessarily do it every day. That is not my favorite protocol. I actually injected it every day while I was there, but you could take a larger dose spread out further than smaller doses daily. So keep that in mind too. So when I think about peptides that can really support travel, Motsi really checks a lot of the boxes for me. You get more energy, better metabolic control, better stress resilience, and that little exercise mimetic boost that kind of keeps you on track when your workouts are just not happening. So that's one of the ones that I would really recommend considering if you know you are going to be traveling for an extended period of time. Let's move on to the next one. So the next one is Thymosin Alpha 1. I'm sure most of you have heard of this one. If you haven't, I'm going to introduce you to it because it's a great one to know about. And I never leave home without it. It's like my American Express card. It's one that I take whether I'm traveling for short trips or long trips. And this is because this Thymosin Alpha 1 really helps with your immune system, because travel is a stress test for your immune system between the crowded airports, the recirculated airplane air, changing sleep schedules, new environments. Your body is exposed to more germs, under more stress. And this Thymosin Alpha 1 is one of the best peptides we have for immune support and immune balance. It helps your T cells, those are the key defenders in your immune army, work more efficiently. So instead of your immune system overreacting or underreacting, the Thymosin Alpha 1 helps it respond appropriately to whatever it is that you're facing. And what this means is that you have fewer chances of picking up every bug on the plane. And if you do get sick, your body is better equipped to mount a stronger defense quicker. And another reason that it's so valuable on the road is inflammation control. Travel stress, lack of sleep, exposure to even things like new foods can spike inflammation. And the thymus and alpha-1 helps calm that storm. It keeps your body in a more resilient, balanced state. And from a practical standpoint, too, it's not one that you necessarily have to take every day. It's one you can take a couple of times a week, which makes it easier, particularly if you're moving between time zones, like in a major way, like I was, and if you're on the go and you're not having to stop every morning and think about this. So the thymus and alpha-1 is not one that I take when I'm actually traveling. You for sure could. You could, in fact, if you really feel like you're susceptible to getting sick when you travel, I would recommend starting a cycle of it a couple of weeks before you leave, continuing to take it while you're gone, and then also finishing it off when you get home. Just because you're helping build the immune system before, during, and after, which are the most common times you're going to get sick, and it can really help with that. I usually carry it with me just if I feel even the slightest bit of maybe unusual fatigue, a little itchy sore throat. If I feel like I'm about to come down with something, I just have it in my arsenal so I can immediately start to use it. I also keep it for me if I'm when I'm traveling for my friends and my family as well, so I have it in play for them if they should need it as well. So I always keep vials of this in my freezer and I can just grab it and take it with me when I need it. So that's really a good one to think about if you travel a lot. So to break it down, you can think of the Cabralenti to help you stay on track with your nutrition, okay? You can think of the Matsi to help you stay on track with your energy and your exercise, even when you're not doing it. And then you can use the thymus and alpha-1 to make sure you're staying healthy and not getting sick. So this is why I love these three for when we're traveling. And the next thing I wanted to go over before I close this episode out is, how do you travel with these? Because that's another question I get all the time. And there are several ways you can do this, but I will tell you what's worked for me. And then you can make the decision on how you would like to move forward if you decide to travel with peptides. Again, some people just don't want to mess with it. You take a break from everything, which is totally fine. I've done that before. And then there are times, like I said, that you're in the middle of a cycle or you're really in the mix of trying to reach some big goals, whether that's lean muscle gain, weight loss, or whatever, and you just really feel like you need to take it with you. Or if you have an injury that you're trying to heal and you're on the CLO or the GLO or something like that, there are lots of reasons why you would want to take it with you. So let's talk about how you do that. First of all, one of the things you have to get is this like a diabetic insulin travel little pouch. They usually come with ice packs. You can just stick the vials in there. It's a really easy way to travel with them. I will put a link to the one I use on Amazon. These pouches often too have places where you can preload the syringes and just travel with the preloaded syringes. Now, let me tell you this. I have never packed those on a carry-on, and you wouldn't want to do that for a long flight. Let's go into that. So if you're going on a long flight, you really want to travel with the peptides unreconstituted in their lyophilized powder form because they don't require necessarily refrigeration at that point. So you could even not put them on ice. And for 24 hours or so, they're going to be totally fine as long as they're not exposed to extreme heat or something. If you're traveling to someplace hot, they're going to be totally fine while you travel. So that makes it super convenient. And you're going to bring back water with you so you can reconstitute those once you get there. Or in the case of thymus and alpha-1, if you just want to have it on hand, you may not need it, but you have it, all the things you need in the chance that you actually do need it. And that's the best way to travel for them long-term. If you want to travel with them and preload the syringes, then you need to use the ice packs, and that would be for a shorter trip. Or I would say even easier, just put the reconstituted vials into the ice pack travel pouch and pack your syringes and you can load them when you get there. I think that's probably the best way to do it. And sometimes you're just going to waste some of it. You're going to bring the lyophilized powder form and you're going to use it while you're there. You can't really ice it on the way back. And so you're just going to have to ditch it. And that's just part of the price of traveling with it. I've done that before too, which I know makes your heart burn a little bit, but, and that is something to consider. depending on how expensive the peptide is and how much of it you would be wasting. The other thing you can do is you can buy those like snap ice packs that they don't have to be frozen. You just snap them in a one-time use and they can stay cold. Again, that would be great for traveling home. So if you have the ice packs going there or you're traveling with the lipolysed powder going there, not reconstituted, you have a way to keep them on ice coming home and you can get the small ones that fit in those small packs. Again, I would put those in your carry-on. Lots of times if I'm traveling even short-term with the carry-on, I just go ahead and check my bag because even though I traveled with the vials, I've never tried to get syringes through security. Really don't want to test that. I'm sure in some places it might be fine, but I've never tried that myself. And so it may just be worth checking your bag if you really want to travel with these. And long-term, at least for me, I bring giant suitcases if it's a longer travel schedule, so that's not even an issue. But those are just some things to keep in mind when you're traveling. And so that's it in a nutshell. Again, I'll put some links in the show notes if you're going to be traveling and you want to take your peptides with you on where to get some of these things. And so that will be super helpful. As far as like housekeeping stuff, things I like to go over with you, you've heard me mention this a few times before I close out that I'm going to put a link also in the show notes to the school platform. And it's called the Women's Peptide Collective. This is a forum that I created for women to join. It's free to get on and you can ask all kinds of questions and we collaboratively respond. And what I love about it is I'm learning so much from all of you that have already joined. And I respond as much as time will allow to the questions that you throw out there. But it's just, you're getting multiple experiences on the same peptides from different people. And you can see how everyone responds a little bit differently and what their experiences are and how you can learn from that. So it's really great. Again, I'll put the link in the show notes. If you're interested in peptides and you're a female, I really encourage you to get on there. It's a great learning resource. I also post special promotions for the Peptique on there. And I post protocols a lot too. So if you have questions about a protocol, you can search and you might find one that I posted. Or you can ask me to post one and I'll post one on there. The other thing is that, y'all, my TikTok and my Instagram are just being shadow banned. I just went from thousands of views to a couple hundred views on everything, and it's super annoying. So I would love for you to follow me on Instagram and TikTok. I will put the links to that in the show notes as well, but it's at West Wellness ATX. That's both of them for TikTok and Instagram. But I will also put that in the show notes. And there's always a special discount for the Peptique in the show notes as well for my listeners. So you can go and get that discount code. And let me see, what else? I think that's it. There's a lot of exciting things I'm working on, new products over the next few months. I'm really excited once they are through all the testing phases that I need them to pass to bring to all of you. So stay tuned for that and keep following so you can be the first to know and the first to get in on all of those products. And I think that's it for this one, y'all. So until next time, have a blessed day.